This is the Praying with the Eyes podcast, episode 31, I Believe in the Holy Spirit. In this episode, Pastor Jeffrey Mines and I will talk about why this is part of our confession stated in the Nicene Creed. We will discuss several aspects of the Holy Spirit, including who He is and how He interacts with us.
Welcome to the Praying with the Eyes podcast. Your hosts are Doug Bronner, Senior Pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and Rochelle Hecker, mom and public speaker. As an avid photographer, Doug combines the beauty of God's creation with the beauty of God's Word in a daily Praying with the Eyes devotional blog. Today's discussion digs deeper into a topic that was first introduced in one of these daily blogs. Thanks again for tuning in to the Praying with the Eyes podcast.
Welcome to this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. I'm Rochelle Hecker, joined by Pastor Jeffrey Mines to discuss who the Holy Spirit is and how He works in our lives today. So, Jeffrey, do we want to talk about why it's you and me and Doug's not here?
Yeah, Pastor Doug, I mean, he's a fixture for this podcast, and he is nowhere around.
And he's nowhere to be found.
Well, we could probably find him, but he's on vacation.
I didn't know pastors were allowed vacations.
One every 7 years.
So have you had any vacating this summer?
Yeah. Our family had a reunion. We were supposed to head out of town, but we had an injury in the family, and the doctors required that family member to stay local. And so all of the family then, we trashed our plans, and we all came here to Colorado Springs and actually had a family reunion camp out in our backyard.
Oh, that sounds kind of fun, the impromptu change.
Yeah, it was like 30 people camping out in our backyard, two showers.
Great. Oh, a little less fun there.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Okay, and they were okay with camping. Some people don't love the camping aspect.
We love camping, and we've got a couple pull-behind campers, mostly tents. And so quite a few of the families hang out in tents, but we've got those pull-behind campers that we can go inside and play games at night or use the restroom or stuff like that. So it's a great time.
Good, good. I guess sometimes when you don't plan or plans change, it can be more fun or just
absolutely
as fun.
Have you been anywhere this summer? You've been out of town a lot, right?
I have been all over the country talking about not planning well. We traveled to the Grand Canyon. We went to my in-law's 50th wedding anniversary in Arizona. So the Grand Canyon was just sort of a whim. We were driving by, so we stopped. After that, we went to a family camp for a week, which we were on a waiting list for. So we got that. We knew about 2 days before we were leaving for camp that we were leaving for camp. And we learned that while we were at the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
And then after that, I had kids going different places. Tori got to go on the youth trip to New Orleans.
Yes, I was there as well. That was not a vacation for me. I was working the entire time, but I hope she enjoyed that.
She had a great time there, and I just think that was a really, it's just neat to see all so many youth together praising God.
Yeah, 25,000 teenagers in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome down there in New Orleans.
So, and that's just amazing to me to even picture. I was sad I couldn't go on that. And then my son got to go on a Boy Scout trip to Wyoming. And then all of us went to New York. And that's when I say I planned it. I wanted to go. I bought the tickets. But then what we would do when we got there was it became more planned as we went. It was we went to visit family and friends. So we just drove between there and D.C. and stopped and saw as many friends as we could fit in.
I've never been to the Grand Canyon. I've never been to New York City. Flew into there and then went to New Jersey and spoke, and never been to Washington, D.C. either.
Those are places to get to if you can. Now, the Grand Canyon's one I'd avoid with small children because I was terrified the whole time I was there, and my kids aren't even small anymore. It was fun when I was a kid, but as an adult, you're just worried somebody's going over the edge.
Yeah, now I have a 5-year-old and I have a 1-year-old, so you're saying I should wait on that.
Well, the 1-year-old you can hold, right?
Yeah,
he's confined.
Yeah, he's a cuddler. Yeah.
So that one you feel better about. The 5-year-old, yeah.
The 5-year-old is everywhere. I mean, he'd be.
Yeah, you'd be in a state of terror.
Okay. Are there no, having never been there, this is a valid question. Are there no barriers to keep people from falling over the Grand Canyon?
Correct. There's areas with some barrier, but most of it has no barrier.
And people are allowed to walk all over the place?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I know. It's amazing to even think about that. In the world of safety,
yeah,
that we have a place like that.
Yeah, I can't build a deck off the back of my house without railings every 7 inches, but I can go to the Grand Canyon.
And you can look a mile down from the edge all you want.
Wow. There are people listening to this podcast right now who have been to the Grand Canyon and thinking, how does he not know this? But this is new information for me.
I think we're just surprised because, well, like we just said, it's a world where we feel like there has to be safety in place everywhere you go. And this is a national park, so it should be all ready for us and our kids. And it's a real place. And I like that, but it's also terrifying to remember that we're responsible for ourselves.
Last year, my family and I went to, what's the place up there in Wyoming? Come on. It's a
Grand Teton?
No, it's a big park.
Yellowstone
National Park. Yeah, our family went to Yellowstone National Park, which I didn't know is just a hollowed out volcano from thousands of years ago. And they're saying, you know, it could go at any time. That was kind of exciting to me because I'm in Yellowstone the entire time and I'm realizing this thing could go at any second. I mean, you feel like you're living on the edge the entire time. I guess it would feel like that if I were at the Grand Canyon.
You would feel like that, yes. And there are places with some barrier, but it's really at your discretion not to go between the bars.
That's why you need those backpacks with the ropes on them that little kids wear. I mean, I'd have my 15-year-old wearing one of those.
I wanted to. Tori, that we just talked about, my almost 18-year-old, terrified me. She still swears that she was in control, but she was running away from a bee and towards the Grand Canyon.
No.
And I was terrified that the bee would win over, you know, the wrong fear was in place.
Could you have your entire family fitted for those squirrel suits that if one person happens to go over,
they could just fly.
They could just, you know, spread out their legs and arms and just squirrel fly their way to safety, to the bottom. That would be ideal,
as long as we had trained them ahead of time how to do that.
We should quit what we're doing and start a squirrel safety suit company at the Grand Canyon.
All right. If that's where the Lord leads, we would say, right?
Speaking of where the Lord leads, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit does that.
Sometimes the Holy Spirit does that. And that's what we wanted to talk about today. So I wanted to ask you, when you hear Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, some people use that term too, mm-hmm. What's the first thing that comes to mind for you?
God.
Give me some more.
Yeah. From Scripture, when we talk about God, we talk about God the Father, and then we talk about God the Son, still God, and then we talk about God the Holy Spirit, still God. So the Holy Spirit is God, Jesus is God, God is God, God the Father is God, and yet we don't talk about three gods, we talk about one God in a triune presence. And so when you talk about the Holy Spirit, I think about God. And this entire conversation that I'm anticipating we're going to have today, really at the end, it's just not humanly comprehensible. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, is so beyond our understanding that really you just spend an hour in a podcast being in awe of God and really never coming to any definitive answers about who God is.
And I completely agree with that. I think about partly the same things. I will say the first things that come to my mind are the other names that he uses, comforter, mm-hmm. healer, teacher, those things. But also the fact that I just feel like he's the side of God I know the least about.
Also true.
You know, in Sunday school, the answer is always Jesus. And we spend a lot of time talking about Jesus, a lot of time. Talking about who he is. And I think we spend a lot of time talking about God the Father and about creation. But the Holy Spirit just seems to be more of the mystery piece, the less tangible piece of who God is. And that's kind of why I wanted to talk today, because maybe I'm just not listening as carefully to what is out there.
Well, I agree with you in that really the Old Testament, we spend a ton of time talking about God the Father, right? He revealed himself to Abraham. He revealed himself to Moses. God parted the Red Sea. God talked to his prophets. And so you spend a lot of time talking about God the Father. Then Matthew rolls around, or the Gospel of Matthew rolls around. And then now that Jesus Christ was sent, and he spent 33 years wandering around the earth doing the God the Father's will. But then, after Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, and he spent 40 days with the apostles, then he said, I'm out of here, but I'm going to send the Comforter. And I loved that you mentioned that. And I sent the Comforter, and now I'm going to head back up in heaven. And really, now we live in the age of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. We are still with God the Father. We are still with God the Son. But really, this is the time of God the Holy Spirit. And we just need to be aware of his work.
Do you think that we as Christians, and so now I'm talking about the church as a whole, are uncomfortable talking about the Holy Spirit?
I think you're probably right, because you never want to act like you know what you're talking about when you know so little about it.
Right.
But we really don't have to be afraid of that. I mean, he's God. We can talk about God. One of the best images that I've ever had happened to me just recently, and you may have been there too, when Pastor Doug, who is our senior pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church, when Pastor Doug did a sermon on the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter. And you remember in the altar area when we had that couch? Were you there that Sunday?
Yes, I was there.
That was one of the most burned images in my mind of the Holy Spirit now, because there was a couch, a simple couch in the center of the altar area. And Pastor Doug sat on that couch. He wrapped a comforter or a comforting blanket around him. And he did his sermon that way. And as he did his sermon, as he proclaimed the gospel from that couch that day, it was so comforting and inviting. And I just felt like I was in Pastor Doug's living room and we were just talking about God. That's the Holy Spirit.
That is. And it's less tangible, but in a way he gave us a tangible picture of how the Holy Spirit was working that day.
Yeah.
And I like that. Okay, so in the Nicene Creed, we declare, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. Now that's Nicene Creed goes to many different churches, correct?
Right. The Nicene Creed doesn't belong to the Lutheran Church.
Right, and I just wanted to clarify that. And, you know, now we've got songs with the different creeds in there out there. But I wanted to talk about it because the wording in that, so I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that we have to break this down into long, deep theological study. I just want to know in general, if the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life and Jesus Christ is our Lord, is that the same thing? Is it different?
Yeah. I think now after God created, you go back to Adam in the Old Testament, right? And then here you had this lump of clay, this lump of dirt that God had shaped and molded into man. And then he breathed life into that clump of dirt, that clump of clay. That was the first man, Adam. That Old Testament Hebrew word, right, of he breathed into Adam, that's spirit. He breathed spirit, his spirit, into man. And so that's where I think we originally get the concept of that he is the Lord and giver of life, right? And so then now here you, Rochelle, I mean, you're sitting here in front of me. I can see you. But yet the Holy Spirit is in you. We receive the Holy Spirit as believers in Jesus Christ. And as believers in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit within you. And so when I look at you, I can see you and I can see your life lived out. But when I see you, I also see the Spirit of God at work. And so when you're Mom of the Year and when you're serving the community, even when you're doing this podcast, that's God working through you and your life.
All right. So that's a good beginning answer. And it says he proceeds from the Father and the Son.
basically it means that there wasn't one that was before the other.
Okay.
Right? That God didn't create Jesus. God didn't create the Holy Spirit. There was God in three persons, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so they were always together. They created together. They will always be together.
All right. And that goes along with the end, who's with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified. And I think it's important to clarify that and what we mean by that. As I was researching for this podcast, I didn't realize that other churches that I might not consider Christian, or I don't want to have arguments over theology, but I realized there are churches out there that do not believe the Holy Spirit is God. They don't believe in the Trinity, and that made me sad, I guess.
Yeah, nor do they believe that Jesus Christ is God. They believe that God Almighty, God the Father, alone is God, and that we aren't to worship Jesus or the Holy Spirit. And that I agree with you, that is a sad thing.
Yeah. All right, so I think we need to take a break. Praying with the Eyes is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Colorado Springs. You can find out more information about us at www.holycrosscs.org. This Praying with the Eyes podcast is based on a daily devotional blog established by Pastor Doug Bronner. He has several writers now for that blog, connecting to the beauty of God's Word with the beauty of creation, using pictures to find out more about God. That website is www.prayingwiththeeyes.com. And if you have any questions for us about this podcast or about any blogs, please send those to questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. When we come back from this break, we'll start a discussion by talking about an article in Christianity Today titled The Most Important Thing About the Holy Spirit.
Are you looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are? A place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts? A place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join the life-changing experience of Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious fun and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, or on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
Praying with the Eyes is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church. We can be found at www.holycrosscs.org. So I said before we took our break that we wanted to talk about an article called The Most Important Thing About the Holy Spirit. It's from Christianity Today. It's from August 15th. Oh, that's today. It's from January 2015. So it's a little over a year old. And what it is actually is more of an interview than an article. The interview is by Jen Pollock. Would you say Michael or Michelle? M-I-C-H-E-L.
What? M-I-C?
H-E-L.
Michelle.
Jen Pollock Michel.
Yeah.
And she interviews J.D. Greer, who is a Southern Baptist pastor. And he's talking about a book he's written, but also about the Holy Spirit. He's the pastor of the Summit Church in North Carolina, or at least he was in 2015.
I've also never been to North Carolina.
You need to get out more.
I guess. I think to myself that I travel all over the world.
You speak all over the world.
I know, but I guess I really don't, because I've never been to the Grand. I've never done a conference at the Grand Canyon. I've never done a conference in North Carolina.
So these are ideas for places that people should be calling you.
If there's anyone in North Carolina right now listening to this podcast, please call Jeffrey Mines Productions at.
There's no at. Just notice that, everyone. But you will have an at eventually, someday.
I don't even have a production company, so just call me, Facebook me.
All right. So so this pastor is Pastor, it keeps changing. He doesn't have a first name in this article. J.D. Greer. He steps back from secondary debates surrounding specific charismatic gifts to emphasize how the Spirit enlivens our relationship with God. So mostly she's quizzing him about his idea that sometimes when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit or other aspects of the Spirit, mm-hmm. it might muddle up what our real relationship with the Spirit is. That conversation can. So the first question she asks him is, how would you characterize your relationship with the Holy Spirit? So I'm going to just put you on the spot and ask you that, Jeffrey.
Sure.
How would you characterize your relationship with the Holy Spirit?
Well, my answer again would be same as it was earlier, and then I'll go ahead and expound on that since that's the next thing you're going to ask me to do. The Holy Spirit is God, right? And so my relationship with the Holy Spirit is my relationship with God. Now, what does that look like? Okay. So as I mentioned earlier, it's not like God the Father is taking a back seat at this time, or that Jesus is hanging out with God in the back seat, and that this is the time of the Holy Spirit exclusively. This is God's time. But this is the time in our life when God is communicating through the person of the Holy Spirit. So you think back again to the Old Testament, right? The burning bush, Moses, and Moses is, yeah, here I am, right? Or then you have Jesus hanging out with the apostles, and Jesus says, okay, this is how to pray, and he speaks to the Pharisees, and you can hear the voice of Jesus. Well, now we live in the time when we don't hear the voice of God, or where Jesus isn't walking around on the earth at this time, and so we don't hear his audible voice. Now we live in the time when we hear God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to his people. And so my relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, is one of listening. What is he doing? What is he saying? What is he trying to accomplish through me or through you? I kind of had an experience like that just a couple days ago. My in-laws who live across the road from us, totally blessed to have that relationship. I mean, they just live 100 yards from our house. It's wonderful. They were having their dishwasher fixed. And while they were having their dishwasher fixed, I know the guy that was fixing their dishwasher, and actually, to say it more accurately, I know his daughter really well. And I've been inviting his daughter to church, and she always has a reason as to why she can't come to church, right?
Right.
And so now I'm in the presence of her dad. And I started to seek the Holy Spirit while we were there in my mother-in-law's kitchen, just kind of saying, Lord, what do you want me to say here? God, how can I start this conversation? God, give me an opening here. And I just really felt that pressing from God to engage in that conversation, one that I would have preferred to kind of just hang back on.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say this just right now, because your last sermon was about being uncomfortable a little bit. It wasn't really about being uncomfortable, but more about we need to talk more about God to people in spite of the fact it may divide a relationship.
Boy, those can be uncomfortable situations. But so here I am.
Are.
Yeah, and it's uncomfortable. And so in my discomfort, I really just want to go, nah, you know, I'll probably see him a different time and I'll bring it up then. But I was listening, and the Holy Spirit, I believe, was really encouraging me to engage in that conversation. And so even though I didn't want to, and sometimes in those cases when I don't want to, the best way is just to be blunt and blurt it out.
Right.
And so he's there talking about the fuse that's not working on the motherboard. And I just said, so when can I invite you guys to church? I mean, you're willing to come to church? You want to come hang out with the family? And, you know, he said no. But nevertheless, even though he said no, I still think it was my responsibility to engage in the conversation.
To be obedient to what you were hearing, which is going to pull us away from the article just a little bit to say, well, how do you know that wasn't just you?
Yeah.
You knew that was coming to
you. How do you test the spirits, right?
Right.
I mean, because we hear about that in the New Testament from Paul to encourage us to test the spirits. I think the Holy Spirit speaks pretty clearly.
I'm just going to agree with you. And like in this instance, it wasn't necessarily something you wanted to do. You would have rather not say anything.
Yeah. Let me explain what I mean when I say that the Holy Spirit speaks pretty clearly. One of the best books that I've ever read in my life was a book called Experiencing God, and it was written by Henry Blackaby. And in that book, Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby talks about how we, as God's people, are to hear God speak. And I really love the way he outlines this. He says, look, God speaks through Scripture. God speaks through prayer. God speaks through the church, the
church
people,
yes.
the people in the church, and and God speaks through circumstances. And when you get all four of those things lined up, you can be pretty clear that you have God, the Holy Spirit, at work right there. So in my example with the appliance repairman, you know, when I look at Scripture, it's pretty clear all through Scripture that we have a mandate to proclaim the gospel, to speak about Jesus. In prayer, this family, who I know the daughter better than anyone else, but this family has been on my heart a lot lately. In the sermon yesterday, you know, we get encouragement to, yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable, but we need to talk about Jesus. And then here I am in the kitchen with him. And so all four of those things were lined up pretty accurately. And so that's a case when you just need to decide, are you going to be obedient to when the Holy Spirit is leading you, or do you want to be disobedient?
And it is a choice. I'm glad you brought up that book. It's interesting. I'm about to start that with my oldest daughter and some of her friends. I think that's one of the biggest questions, maybe of Christians in general, but I know of our youth right now, is how, that's what I keep hearing over and over again from them, is how do I hear God? How do I know what his plan is for me? Everybody keeps telling me he has a plan, but nobody tells me what it is.
Yeah, we have kids at the church who are in college right now, and they're asking questions like, well, they tell me I have to decide on what my major is going to be, or I have to declare a major, and I just don't know which major to declare. And so I'm thinking of this one girl, and you start asking questions like, well, what do you want to do? And she's like, well, I think I want to be a veterinarian. Oh, well, let's talk that through for a second. What's your relationship with animals? Well, I'm totally allergic to animals. Can't be around them at all. Eyes water the entire time, sneeze the whole time. Okay, well, that's a clue, right? What about your biology classes? Barely passing those. I mean, D minus at my best. Okay, maybe that's another clue, right? But in other areas...
But she has a real passion for animals.
She does. But so then the other thing that she was talking about was maybe business finance. And so, okay, well, talk to me about that. Well, I love those classes, and I'm really good at those, and I get A's in those. And well, maybe you shouldn't be a veterinarian. Maybe you should own a veterinarian clinic. And then you employ people who actually do the veterinary work.
Or do a little bit like my sister does. She works with dentists, but she helps them because many dentists have to own their own business. It's by law, but they've been trained in dentistry, not in business. So she goes to the businesses and trains them how to be a business.
So right. And so that's a circumstance.
Those kinds of things.
That's a circumstantial situation, like I was talking about earlier, that, well, maybe the Holy Spirit isn't leading you towards veterinary work, but maybe towards the business ownership side of that. So it's just, to answer the question again, what is my relationship like with the Holy Spirit? It's one of listening.
I love that answer right there. And I would say, you know, I haven't been fair to you by making you answer all the questions, but I would say that's my relationship too, is one of listening, discerning. I learned pretty early on, and I have one specific child I'm trying to instill this in as well. There's so many circumstances that we have no control over, but we have a passion for, that we feel a passion for. And so this is where I feel the Holy Spirit works most in me, is those are the places where when I know I can't do anything, but I feel the pain of a situation, that's God calling me to prayer.
Mm.
Whether it's for a person, whether it's for a circumstance, whether it's for our nation, that's the Holy Spirit. That's how I think he works most in me. And my biggest connection is to pray for people, for situations, for things. Even if I do feel like they're inside my control now, because I don't think anything is anymore. right? But the biggest calling is to prayer when we're so frustrated that there's nothing we can do.
Do you have a situation that enables you to hear the Holy Spirit more effectively than other times? So, like, for example, we own this little piece of property, and we've been trying to garden on that piece of property for years, and nothing grows. So this year, we built raised beds, we brought in good soil, we prepared the soil, and now we're actually getting some good stuff. In that same way, do you have a time – in the day maybe, or a certain location or a space where you can go, okay, this is fertile soil time right here where I am available and listening to the Holy Spirit for Him to reveal Himself to me?
And the answer is, yeah, absolutely. Usually, almost always in the morning, but before I get up, you know, I talked to you yesterday about I woke up at 6:30 a.m. Why is it so difficult for me to get to church by 11 a.m., you know, and have had more than my first cup of coffee? And I know the answer to that question. And the truth is because I spend so much time reading my Bible in prayer with God in the morning, and I lose track of time because I'm with Him. That's what makes me late all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, what can I say? I'm late for church. I'm sorry. I was having time with God alone.
If you're late for church because you're reading your scriptures, spending time in prayer, I'm pretty sure we have a pass for that, right? I mean,
I don't know. There's nothing on my name tag that gives me permission. But it was after I mentioned that to you that I thought it through and I realized, well, that's what I was doing. And it's often what I do in the morning. And it's my favorite thing to do, favorite time of the day. I hate leaving that place. And I can't get through the day without it.
Yeah, so you almost have to be pried out of that spot because you're so rooted in that place. I'm the same way. I'm in the morning. And so a couple things ran through my mind as I was picturing you there in that place in the morning. Two things pop into my mind. There you are with the Word of God open. And there you have Him. There's God speaking, right, through His Scripture, through His Word, that He wrote down through the apostles and the prophets by the Holy Spirit, right? Getting back to that conversation. And then the other thing that I was picturing is as your kids wake up in the morning, the first thing they see is Mom in probably her chair, right? You have the chair.
Well, I used to have the chair. I moved it out of my room because people kept coming in my room and sitting in the chair. I'm an introvert, so I like my... So honestly, I'm in bed usually,
okay.
But I'm sitting up in there.
So your kids, they come at the door and they see Mom in bed, scriptures, cup of coffee, prayer, and wow, what an impression that is making on your kids that they see you spending your day, starting your day with the Holy Spirit.
And I hope that makes an impression. I'm going to bring out the truth and honesty in the non-Facebook version of this picture. Yes, and we're coming up on some time here too. But the non-Facebook picture is some days it's like that. They can walk in and they can see I've been having a great time with God. And there's other times they walk in and I say, could you please get out? I need my time alone.
And give me some space. I'm hanging out with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. It used to be worse when my kids were really young. And I laugh about it now because I remember hearing myself yelling. Now I got to remember the exact term, but basically I'm trying to learn about the love of God.
Yeah.
Could you leave me alone? And, you know, and there's the Holy Spirit convicting me of, you're not demonstrating the love of God here.
Yeah. Gosh. And the kids go, man, the Holy Spirit makes Mom mad a lot.
Right. You know, I think we'll come back and I think we'll take a break here and come back, maybe finish up a little bit on this article and talk a little bit more about the Holy Spirit.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, we encourage those who hunger to be nourished by God. We believe that true nourishment in our lives is met in our Creator and Redeemer God. At Holy Cross, we proclaim the message that our God desires intimacy with us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that worship is an experience of this intimacy. To find out more about worship styles and times, visit our website at holycrosscs.org. That again is holycrosscs.org. And if you don't live in the Colorado Springs community or you are part of a different Christian community, we encourage you to join with God's people as He nourishes His relationship with you.
I have to admit that trying to run this without Pastor Doug for the first time and realizing how many of his notes are in his head. So I have, the website is www.prayingwiththeeyes.com. Now I know he does a much smoother introduction.
He rattles that off.
But that's where you can find the blogs that he's written and that other people have written. I guess I've written. I should include myself in that. And also where you can find this podcast. But if you're listening to this, you already have.
You know where to find it, right?
You do know where to find it. But we do ask that you would share it with others. If you find that it speaks to you, that you would lead others to the podcast and to that website. So I wanted to wrap up a little bit more on this article. We talked about how we characterize our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And this pastor, he came up with also something I believe is true, because he talks about how he had a lot of anxieties about his spiritual life and about doctrine and how he'd had to get things done and trying to save the world. And he came to the conclusion of, instead of saying, look at all that God needs me to do for him, the Spirit reminds us to say, look at what God is empowering me to do. And, you know, I agree with that, that one, it's freeing to recognize not everything is my job, but that God gives us what we need to accomplish what he wants done.
Yeah, that one line he talked about, feeling like he needed to save the world. My instant thought was, well, Jesus really did a great job of that 2,000 years ago. So let's just let that be that. But then he talked about how now that Jesus has saved the world, now the Holy Spirit is simply going to empower us to do his work. Anybody listening to this podcast that knows me knows the next thing that I'm about to say. I mean, I've got employees and colleagues and interns right now who are going, I know exactly what he's about to say. Even my kids know exactly what I'm about to say.
I should hope the kids before all those other people.
Hmm? Yeah, my children are going, I know what he's going to say. So my kids will come in and they're like, do I have to clean the kitchen? And I go, no, you get to clean the kitchen. like, thank God we have a kitchen that gets to be cleaned, right? Or do I have to go out and take care of the chickens? No, you get to go out and take care of the chickens. So in this same way, we don't have to do the work of the Holy Spirit now. As God's people, as believers in Jesus Christ, we don't have to go do his work. We get to go do his work. Now, when it becomes a have to kind of thing is when it's tough. Okay, like these conversations with people who may or may not be believers in Jesus, those are tough conversations, but we still get to have them. We don't have to. And if we can just shift our thinking a little bit about having to do the Holy Spirit's work to getting to do it, that I think that's a huge hurdle, and maybe even the biggest hurdle and the first hurdle, and then some of the other steps after that.
I absolutely agree with that. I mean, otherwise you're not doing it with joy. You're not doing it joyfully, but it's a paradigm shift in your thinking of whether you have to do something or whether you get to, whether you have the privilege of working in any area.
Right. Some people, you know, we're Lutherans. We worship in a Lutheran church. I'm a Lutheran pastor, right? The word Lutheran doesn't necessarily define me. I mean, I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a husband. I'm a pastor. I pastor at a Lutheran church, and really in those denominational conversations, really I open the Bible, and what the Bible says is what I believe, and so I'm a Lutheran. But have you ever had churches that say, or that feel like some denominations have a better Holy Spirit than other denominations? Like some churches really seem to focus on the Holy Spirit.
I'm going to just say absolutely. And I think that in that same vein, churches seem to grab onto what they think their strength in God is. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's one of my theories that often churches are broken down into kind of spiritual gifts. This particular church is good at teaching. This particular, it's the way we've split up rather than coming together.
I have never heard that.
It's that hyper-focus. And in talking about that, I'm going to go right back to this article. She says, you ask readers to move beyond theological debates over miraculous gifts of healing, prophecy, speaking in tongues, and she asks him why. And his answer is that too often those discussions run on two tracks, the conservative track and the charismatic track. And he says those secondary issues make a quagmire and that both sides end up missing the most important thing. So I kind of wanted to talk about what you think those two tracks or what we think those two tracks would be, which is a little bit of what you're talking about. There's a conservative track of who the Holy Spirit is, and there's a charismatic view. What do we think?
Yeah. Well, step one, I think the word quagmire isn't used enough in today's language.
Great word.
We just have to use, I mean, everybody listening to this podcast, I want you to use the word quagmire twice today, okay? And then you know, send that in to us and let us know.
That would be awesome. Send that into questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com.
We want to hear your quagmire quotes.
Quagmire quotes. That's great.
You know, that is an interesting perspective that this article is pointing out here, because the Holy Spirit doesn't change. It's not like the Holy Spirit is going, okay, I'm going to work with this church right now. Is this one of the churches that's charismatic, or is this one of the conservative churches? And so the Holy Spirit doesn't have to change the way he's going to work through a specific church. It's still the Holy Spirit. He still works his way. I guess it's the different congregations' interpretations of how the Holy Spirit is working. We had a situation where I went to Honduras recently. You've been there,
right? I have not been there. I've had the privilege of sending a child there, but I have not gotten to go.
You're going soon, though, or something.
When my children are done needing to go places, I will go
you
again.
You will. Okay. I had an interesting situation in Honduras recently where our leader said, all right, everybody has a job when we go down to Honduras. And I kind of raised my hand and I said, what is my job? Nobody's explained my job to me yet. And they looked at me and they said, look, you're going to be the pastor. And I go, oh, okay. So just a bunch of preaching and praying. And they said, yes, preaching and praying. And they said, just so you know, the people in Honduras will come to you once they discover that you're a pastor. They will come to you and ask for you to pray healing over them, right? Well, that's not traditionally something that we would see in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. There's other denominations where you would go to the pastor for healing. But I'm kind of the guy that says, well, you know, look, the Holy Spirit can do whatever he wants to through
he
me.
He can do what he wants.
And so if he wants to use me in Honduras for a healing, that's fine. And so I was kind of getting excited about that. I was getting my hands ready and warmed up and, you know, just to get to Honduras and do some healing, you know. And so we're second day. And the leader comes to me and says, Pastor, there's a man over here who would like for you to pray healing over him. And I was like, all right, here we go. You know, wonder what the sickness is that I'm going to pray out of him, right? Well, I'm being facetious about all that, but I went over and I met the man whose son had just been killed in a truck accident. And he asked that I would pray for him, that God would heal his broken heart, and that God would give him the strength as the father to continue to live and to serve him. That's an awesome prayer. And that is not a prayer that belongs to any denomination. That is a prayer of God's people, that God would heal the brokenhearted and God would use the Holy Spirit to do that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's straight out of scripture. And on the same vein, though, it doesn't mean that God wouldn't heal a physical ailment or do other things. That's not what you're saying.
Yeah, he can. And if he wants to use any of us to do that, we are his vessels, we're his tools. He can use us how he wants to.
And I'm going to bring that around to something that I struggled with a little bit when I was researching this, because I belong to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And so I decided I'd better go look and see what we really profess as a church about this. And so I found a blog written. It's by Dr. Lewis W. Spitz, Sr., and it's been reprinted. He actually wrote this in the 60s, I believe.
I was not alive in the 60s.
Neither one of us was alive in the 60s.
Pastor Doug, no doubt, was alive in
I
the
think
60s,
he was.
Though. Probably maybe the 50s. Close. Yeah, he was alive in the 60s for sure.
I have to talk to him again soon, so I don't want to get in trouble here. But anyways, in this article, he's talking about a lot of things I agree with about the Holy Spirit. But there's one paragraph that, I don't know, it made my muscles tense when I read it.
Okay.
So I'll read this out. It says, in the early days of the New Testament church, the gift of the Holy Ghost was accompanied by certain signs and wonders, such as the cloven tongues of fire. Such visible demonstrations of the Spirit's presence are no longer needed. The Holy Ghost has demonstrated his presence and divine power by firmly planting the Christian church on earth and by keeping it through the gospel and the sacraments with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And I will say the part that made me get tense was such visible demonstration of the Spirit's presence are no longer needed. I just felt like that was a little bit arrogant to say what God's going to do.
Mm. My guess is what he's, and again, written in the 60s, wasn't even alive, not we don't have the privilege of having him here to ask him what he meant by that. My guess is what he's talking about. You go back to Acts 2 and you think about the tongues of fire that rested on the apostles' head. What happened there? God manifested himself through the Holy Spirit in the form of tongues of fire that rested on the foreheads of the apostles. They then began speaking in various tongues. Why would he do that? So that from that time, the apostles could spread out throughout the region, speak in many different languages, profess the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was no language barrier there. Now the gospel of Jesus could explode like wildfire through the region. And we don't need that again today, right?
I don't know. Have you looked at our nation lately?
Right, but the gospel is proclaimed now. We have the gospel available in every tongue. If there's a tongue that we don't have it available in, we're working on translating the scriptures for those people. We may not need that manifestation, but yet at the same time, when God leads someone from the community to our church because they have a need and we have the ability to help them, I still think that's the Holy Spirit manifesting himself. That's still the Holy Spirit who's at work.
And I agree with you on that. I just agree that there are times when God still gives us tangible things. That God, the Holy Spirit speaks to us or shows us tangible ways. And it may not be the exact same as what we see in the Bible. We were just talking about difference between conservative views and the charismatic views. The charismatics, I know the charismatic church mm-hmm. teaches that you have to speak in tongues. Is that correct? I said I know, and now I'm asking if that's correct. But I believe that that is a sign of the Holy Spirit in you. From their perspective, it has to be in you. As opposed to we teach.
Sure.
It's okay if that happens.
Sure. And yet then I think through the writings of Paul where he talks about desiring the greater gifts, also talks about warning people from desiring the gift of speaking in tongues, especially without an interpreter. You really got to have both. There's got to be A and B. I was a kid in... A Lutheran church in Farmington, Missouri, which is where I grew up, at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. And Pastor Andrew Spolick was the pastor. I don't know where he's at today or anything. And there was a time when I was a little guy, and I remember somebody in the church began making sounds and noises vocally that nobody understood. And Pastor Spolick was in the middle of a sermon at the time. And he allowed the vocalizations to go on, lasted maybe 20 seconds, and then he just took a deep breath and he asked, "Is there anyone in the congregation that can interpret what just happened?" And no one moved. And he said, "All right," and he proceeded with the sermon. He really didn't bat an eyelash. I mean, and so really, when you've got the speaking of the tongues, you need to have an interpreter at the same time.
Right. And, you know, right now I can't open up. I might actually be able to open up to the scripture, but I couldn't tell you off the top of my head where it does say that.
Right.
So I guess my point isn't so much that has to happen. I guess that's just one difference between a more charismatic view of how the Holy Spirit works as opposed to a more conservative view. Or yeah. Maybe I'm even going a little too far because I think...
I think you're being accurate, but at the same time, let's go all the way back to the very first conversation we had at this podcast. What is our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit? Just to listen. And so if the Holy Spirit leads us to something that doesn't make sense or feel right, and yet still we get to be obedient and we get to obey him and do what he's calling us to, no matter how crazy it sounds, right? And so whether we're charismatic or conservative, it's still the same Spirit.
Absolutely, absolutely. And kind of on those same notes, I was just thinking about some of the other ways that and I'm just pulling this out of my head now, ways that seem less conservative just for me and ways I believe the Holy Spirit speaks. Or he has spoken to me, like through dreams. I'll say I've had prophetic dreams. And I think I tend to be less comfortable talking with people about those aspects of the Holy Spirit and how he's working in my life, just because it seems a little farther out there, a little crazier.
Mm-hmm.
And then another aspect that I see him working is when you and I both do speaking at churches and groups.
Right.
And I don't know if you've experienced it. I assume you have, because I just feel like that's how God works. And maybe one thing I've had to learn over years is God does not work the same with everybody. And that's fine.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
But oftentimes when I speak, I have my notes in front of me. And when I'm done, I realize I said very little of what I planned.
Uh-huh.
But God said what he wanted to say.
Right. I've had times, even the sermon on Sunday that you spoke about earlier, I've had times too where in my quiet time with the Lord, when I'm about to do a sermon, I'll look at the text a couple weeks ahead of time. And at that point, I'll just start asking the Holy Spirit, where are we going here? What are we doing with this? Bring some words, jump some words off the page for me that you need highlighted in the sermon on that particular Sunday. And then sometimes I'll even write the sermon maybe a week out, and then I just let the Holy Spirit work on me throughout the following week as I've written it out. But what does he need changed? What does he need adjusted? What does he need said that I haven't written yet? And so while I'm preparing to preach a sermon, I'm just listening for the whole week ahead of time, just waiting, Lord, you say what you need to say and speak it through me.
Well, and I know he's speaking the truth, because we talked about today's podcast a little bit in our preparation, and I believe we both wanted God to do more of the speaking than us today on the same.
Yeah, we say that in church on Sundays too, when we speak the words of forgiveness or the blessing. We pray that it's not the pastors that you hear, that it's the voice of God that you would hear through us and be blessed by his voice and not ours.
I'm going to go ahead and end this segment, give people a chance to take a little break here. I just want to encourage you to go to the website, www.prayingwiththeeyes.com. There I hope in our show notes to be able to put up some of these blogs I read and some of these articles, and hopefully you'll read through them too, and you can give us comments at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. We are a ministry of the Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, here in Colorado Springs, and you can find out more about what our different ministries are there at www.holycrosscs.org.
Are you looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are? A place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts? A place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join the life-changing experience of Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious fun and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, or on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe, come join the conversation.
Pastor Jeffrey Mines and I are sitting here talking about the Holy Spirit. We thank you for joining us. And I hope that if you have any questions or thoughts, because this is such a, I can't even think of the right words. I wanted to say a difficult subject, but it's just one we don't talk about as much. Maybe you have some other thoughts or questions, and we'd appreciate it if you would email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. And I really mean it. If you ask us a question, we will get to you with some answer. So we've talked about this podcast is based on a blog website, prayingwiththeeyes.com. And so today's talk about the Holy Spirit is based on a blog I've written. I'm trying to see if I wrote down the title of it. Oh, I Believe in the Holy Spirit.
Catchy.
Is it catchy? I Believe in the Holy Spirit. And it's about really a little bit of what we've talked about, how it's easier to explain God the Father or Jesus, and God the Son, than it is to explain God the Holy Spirit to people. And yet we still want to profess our belief in the whole God, all of God, the one triune God. The picture that I'm basing the blog on, my daughter, Tori Tick.
Love that kid.
We've heard a lot about Tori today.
I love that kid.
I love that kid, too. She turns 18 very soon, Amy.
I can't believe that.
And is going to start her senior year. I have to tell you, on this trip to wherever, the whole summer, she requested I buy us a nice camera, a decent camera for her to use. I bought it as the family camera, but most of the time, Tori had it in her
hands. Became Tori's camera.
It became Tori's camera. And I will say one of the frustrations I expressed to her is she takes very few pictures of her family. You know, so you're out in these wonderful places with no evidence. And if she did take pictures, they were candid and often unflattering photos of her family. And on this day in Yonkers, New York, it was an impromptu day. We had looked up things to do, and it was a Thursday. Apparently, a lot of things in New York, a lot of tourist attractions in not the city, but outside the city, are closed.
Hmm.
Or at least they were that day.
I've never been to Yonkers, New York.
You have never been to Yonkers, New York. And whenever I think of Yonkers, I think of the play Lost in Yonkers, which I just remember I liked. I had seen that in New York City at some point in life. I do think of New York as a little bit of my stomping grounds, only because I lived there 3 years. I had the privilege of living there and loved it. And it was one of the places I prayed about moving to when I ended up in Colorado Springs.
Thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer differently.
Aww. Anyway, this picture's taken in Yonkers. And Tori she burned out the camera that day. She was taking so many pictures because we were in these gardens. We ended up at this garden. It was just not a community garden, but one that was welcome to the public. It was an open, free public garden. And originally, it had been a garden that was one of the seven wonders of the world. Not really, but it was a well-known, beautiful,
very popular garden.
Popular. A person owned and kept up, and people from all over. I'm thinking like late 1800s time frame, early. I should look it up. But anyway, it was a long time ago, but now it was in extreme disrepair.
Mm.
It had been, we also have pictures of an old fountain pool that's all torn up and the tiles are torn out of it, areas with graffiti. And I'll even share that we played Pokemon Go on the trip.
Oh, were there any Pokemon in the garden?
There were many Pokemon in the garden. And the garden was in the middle of restoration, so there were areas of this garden that were gorgeous, beautiful places to visit. And in playing Pokemon Go, we ran into an adult couple who were playing, and I started asking them about the garden, and they said every week they come and there's something new, something rebuilt to see. Mm. And they even talked about how it used to be such a terrible place. There was a satanic group that used to meet there. They would find dead bodies occasionally there. And so I'm bringing all this up to say it's a sign of restoration and God's peace when you look at the changes that were occurring, and it was a sign of sanctification to me to watch how it was growing and changing and being renewed. The pictures of it at the top of a fountain, there's a gazebo that the mayor of Yonkers, a former mayor, had built in memory of his wife. And it was also very beautiful. But the thing about Tori, she takes pictures of things a lot of people don't look at. And so she had looked straight up, and it was an ironwork dome.
Mm-hmm.
Over the gazebo, and that's what the picture is for this blog. And I looked at the picture itself, and it seemed to say everything the garden was saying to me about who God is, because it's broken up into three sections. So I can see the Trinity in the picture.
Yeah, I can see that.
And yet at the center is one solid circle.
Love
so
it.
We can see how it all comes together as one. And throughout all the ironwork, it's all forming hearts around.
I noticed that as well.
Showing us the love of God himself. And as I just keep analyzing it, I was looking through too, but she didn't completely center the picture. If the picture had been centered, each piece of that three pieces would have the same focus.
Mm.
But hers is off-center, so we see that there's a little bit more in one third and in a second third than in the last third. And it got me to pondering in general about how we treat God, and that we tend to focus more on God the Father, God the Son, and less on God the Holy Spirit. And as I mentioned earlier in our podcast, I believe it's because the Holy Spirit's more of a mystery to us. I put it together with the scripture from Acts chapter 17, verse 23, from the New Living Translation. And this is Paul talking. "For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, 'To an unknown God.' This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about." In a way, our God is unknown.
Mm-hmm.
in that we don't have... Actually, this whole gazebo I'm talking about was actually a shrine for his wife.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have something tangible to look at, to grasp, to hold when we pray, or when we're interacting with God. We can go to a church, but we know God's not just in the church.
Mm-hmm. We can hold his word. We can tangibly hold his word. And yet, when I study his word, I realize that every time I study God's word, it's less about the things that I learn about God and more discovering about how much more there is to discover about God that in my humanity I will never understand until I get to be with him in heaven.
Exactly, which sometimes is a wonderful feeling, and sometimes it sets me a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
To realize there's so much more about God. You know, as a kid, maybe even now, I walk into a library and I get frustrated because I'll never have time to read all those books. I want to read them all. And that's the same way I feel when I am in God's word, that there's so much more, such an expansive divine God out there that I will never, but it's never's not true, is it? I want to say never know everything about him. But he says in heaven, we will know.
Yeah, we will spend eternity with him. Those who believe in him will spend eternity with him. And then we will see clearly who God is. Here on earth, we'll never fully know God in our humanity, but we can spend more time with him. And like you're showing with this picture that Tori took, strive towards centeredness, equal time with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who is still one God. And like we mentioned at the very beginning of this podcast, a mystery that in our humanity we'll never understand on this side of heaven, but... man, it's fun to swim on the deep side of the pool with him.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that terminology. Swim on the deep side of the pool. Dive in deep. Thank you for coming today and talking with me about the Holy Spirit and who he is. And I hope we spend more and more time just as a general population getting to know. I just want to talk. I love God. That was one thing Jeffrey said when I emailed him about this podcast. How would you feel about talking about the Holy Spirit? And he answered back, I love the Holy Spirit. Did I use the right
vocal inflection there? I think all caps.
All caps. I love the Holy Spirit. I love God. And I love having the privilege to come and talk about him. And yeah. Would love to talk with others too.
When talking about the Holy Spirit, what I love about it is just the sense of awe that we get.
The sense of awe. We will never know, but it's worth seeking. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, and there we'd enjoy it, or it would be helpful to us if you'd leave a review and a rating. If you have any questions for us, again, I remind you to email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. You can also join our Facebook group, which is also called Praying with the Eyes. You can see a theme here. We'd also love it if you visit Douglas Bronner Photography on his Facebook page. He also will have more information on that. The Holy Cross Lutheran website is www.holycrosscs.org. We have worship times at 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. We hold Bible classes at 9:30 a.m. for both children and adults. And also we have an 11 o'clock Sunday school for adults. We also have a ministry, Life Tree Cafe, and you can find that on our website. And that's a time for open discussion about different issues in life and how God works in them. And we look forward to you listening to our next Praying with the Eyes podcast.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. These podcasts are produced by Jason Laird Productions, which you can find online at jasonlairdproductions.com. For thoughts or questions you might have, please email Doug. That is questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Be sure to subscribe to the Praying with the Eyes podcast on iTunes, as well as post a review. We invite you to tell a friend about today's podcast by posting a link on your social media accounts. We look forward to being with you in our next episode.